Hi, and welcome to the Commit Your Dream podcast, where we dive into the lives of developers at CleverTech who have taken the reins on coding their own life. Learn and get inspired about how you can create a customized solution to live the life of your dreams.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Commit Your Dreams. I'm your host, Natalie Ta, and today we're here with one of our front-end JavaScript developers, Peter. Peter has been a developer for 26 years and has been at CleverTech for the past 3.5 years. Welcome, Peter.
Thank you.
How's it going over there? It's raining in Tampa today.
It is. It's snowing here, so much so that we actually lost electricity this morning, so I'm running on generator power.
Oh my gosh, resilience. Do you have a lot of generators? I feel like I only have one, so does that happen often where you have to need it?
No, I think this may be the second time this winter. It actually doesn't happen very often. So.
Okay, nice. Not too bad, but looks like you're ready for it, so it doesn't matter what happens. You're always going to be prepared. So I guess we'll start off with, I know it's snowing over there, but where are you currently located? And tell us a little bit more about you.
So I'm Peter Bossi, and I live in New Hampshire. And it is currently snowing. Not too cold. It's right around freezing, which is reasonable for this time of year.
I can't relate to that at all. And I used to live in Colorado where it snowed a lot, but I can't even remember what the cold feels like, to be honest. Tell us something interesting that most people don't know about you.
I've been a web developer since 1996. But I'm also a web developer who thought he could build his own house. And boy, was I right. So usually most tech people don't take on such an ambitious project, but we're living in the house. We have been for about 12 years. And we started with raw forests. There was nothing here. And just to give an idea of like, it's not like a tiny house either. It's about 400 square meters or 4,500 square feet. And we've done everything ourselves with the exception of the roof. And we've always had concrete guys whenever we had concrete show up. So
yeah, amazing project. I'm always wowed when you post pictures in our Slack channel of the progress that you've made on your house. I want to diverge from our plan and ask you, how did that all come to be? When did you decide to build a house? How did it begin?
So it actually started in high school, was I think a junior in high school. I took a drafting class on the school had Mac Plus and Mac SE computers. We were learning how to draw things on the computer. At that point, I realized this is really something that I want to do myself. I realized that, you know, housing in general is like the most expensive thing that we pay for with our lives. You know, with our we earn money by selling our time, basically. And if there's the largest thing that we spend our time doing is paying for our own housing. And so if I can cut that cost in half by building it myself, that's something that I want to do. And so I did a lot of research. And when I met my wife, I realized that she also had the same idea. So we found a place in New Hampshire where there's no building code enforcement, which means that there's no inspectors coming around and possibly telling us we can't do things certain ways. It's still built to code, but there's nobody to tell us that we can't do it a certain way. And so we've basically cut our housing costs in half by doing it ourselves.
Wow. That was such smart thinking. Did you think of that in high school? Is that the moment, or you built the house and you're like, oh, this is cool. And it just kind of stuck with you the whole time.
We wanted to basically live our values. And part of that is being responsible with our energy usage. You know, I'm not a big fan of wars and fighting people. And so one of the reasons why certain wars happen is because of oil. And so when we decided to build our own house, we decided we're going to heat it with wood. Wood is here. If you look at, you know, the United States, I think New Hampshire is number one or number two as far as like forest coverage. If we were to stop cutting down forests, the forest would win in a war between us versus the forest. So there's not a lack of energy here. So we decided to heat with wood, which meant that there would be a lot of effort in securing our own heat. And so we decided to make a super insulated house, and it's very comfortable. I mean, it's the end of March in New Hampshire, and I don't think we've run the wood stove in the past couple of days, which, you know, considering it's freezing outside, it's pretty good.
Yeah, that's so resourceful. I'm impressed. Backtracking, I know you mentioned high school. What's the rest of your history like? How were you raised? What was your family structure?
I have an older sister. I have a younger brother. I had an older brother who died when he was 18 and I was in eighth grade. And that kind of impacted, you know, my life quite a bit. Thoughts of what am I here for and whatnot. My parents were together there. I mean, my dad just recently passed away, but I have a very solid, my parents still live in the same house that they did. My mother does rather. Yeah. Delivered newspapers as a kid. And the internet was very new when I got out of high school. And it kind of drove my decisions from that point forward.
Oh, I'm sorry about both of your losses, Peter.
Thanks.
And did your family build their own house too? Or did you help them around the house? Like, basically, when did you become a handy person? Because I am not at all. I can't even fix a chair.
when I was maybe 12, my parents built an addition onto the house and I helped with that. And so I had a little bit of experience from that. And then when I got older, I realized I wanted to have a really nice desk. And so I designed a desk and built it myself. And that process, the process of building a desk, is actually what gave me the confidence to attempt building a house. It seems kind of silly that, you know, a very small desk, but if I was able to figure out how to assemble it, if I could figure out how to build it, then I could build it.
So my mind is blown right now because I realize that this was a time before YouTube, which is how I learned how to fix anything, or when something's jammed, when something, I'm like, okay, how much would I actually pay a person to put the screw back in this chair or this table? I go to YouTube and then I go figure it out. But you did this in an era without YouTube. And so when you were figuring out the desk piece was, I don't know, I guess like I'm thinking you went to Home Depot and then you grabbed some, do they have layouts and blueprints of how to make this table there? Or was it just more of, I'm just going to try it, like trial and error, I'm going to figure this out?
So it's assembly is really the part that is the hard part to figure out. Mm-hmm. So I looked at the things that were around me or things I could build off of. Adam from Mythbusters had an interesting quote. Basically, everything that we build is kind of assembly. So welding is a type of bringing things together. Gluing wood together is bringing things together. Sewing is bringing things together. And we're constantly like building things from different pieces. So when I decided to build a desk, I looked at cabinetry, because how do cabinets get assembled? And how are the similarities there between cabinetry and other wood projects? I'm kind of lost there.
No, that was really cool. I'm thinking back to my middle school days. I did take wood shop and I took metal shop as well. And well, we had blueprints of like instructions on how to do things. But that's a really interesting way to look at it. I've never looked at it as everything is, the hardest part is assembly, or every piece is about assembly. So thank you. Thank you for sharing that. I guess that leads us into, why did you want to become a software developer and not become an architecture or house builder? Or How did you get into software developing?
Right out of high school, I started working at an internet service provider, providing dial-up internet. And it was something that I was good at, something that I had a lot of interest in. I could tell that there was a lot of that I could learn with computers, and I could tell that the internet was going to be something much more significant than even I thought it could be. And I did tech support over
the phone.
Hold
on, back up. How could you tell? Like, what indicated that it was going to be something really amazing?
It was the ability to communicate with other people and collaborate. It enabled a type of communication that wasn't previously available. I saw it only from the perspective of email and then the web, and realized if I have something to say, I can now say it. I have a broadcast medium now that without a television studio, I didn't have before. It sparked something in me that I realized I want to be a part of this. I want to be involved.
Question for you about NFTs and just overall how you feel about that, because a lot of people are saying the metaverse is going to be like the next big thing. And it's very similar to early tech, where when people started realizing that this was going to be somehow going to change our lives. How do you feel about NFTs, and how do you feel about the metaverse?
The way that I approach most things is from a very pragmatic and practical perspective. I have zero crypto. I have zero interest in NFTs. I don't think the metaverse solves a problem that people have. I think it is Facebook trying to add more money to themselves. And personally, I don't see it as a value. It's not solving a problem that's missing in my life.
I also have zero crypto. So we're in the same boat. All right. So what brought you to CleverTech, or how did you find CleverTech?
So we chose a certain place in the world to live, primarily because we want to build our own house. But there's not a lot of industry here. We're actually in the woods. My internet connection actually terminates a mile away from my house at our neighbor's house. And then it is Wi-Fi over the last mile. So there's not a lot of tech jobs here. So I was looking for something remote, something where I could work from home. We have a now 11-year-old son, and I know that sometimes we need to be flexible with school closings or things that might happen, unforeseen pandemics, for example. And so I wanted to be able to adapt to whatever sort of changing conditions might come up. And CleverTech basically bills themselves, and rightfully so, as remote first and remote native. It works great for my life.
Yeah, you can see how it fits perfectly into your life. All right. Thank you so much, Peter. We are coming up on time here, but it was a wonderful half hour spent with you. And I really enjoyed hearing about your house building, what you living out your dreams, you being able to, you being the one of the beginning early adopters of technology, and really overall hearing how resourceful and resilient you are in your whole life. Those are qualities that I think it's difficult to be taught, to be resourceful and resilient. You have to go through certain difficult experiences and continue to tough through them to get there. So I really appreciate you spending time with me today. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. We have an incredibly ambitious goal to reach 5,000 subscribers by the end of the summer. If you're listening on Apple Podcast, it would mean the world to us if you hit the subscribe button. If you're listening on Spotify, hit the follow button. And if you genuinely love this podcast or feel like your friends and family could benefit, please share it with them. You can find us on Twitter, YouTube, and LinkedIn by simply searching CleverTech. And don't forget to check out our careers page if you're ready to commit your dream.